This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, friend, and thank you for joining us tonight at AfterBuzz TV for the Mr. Robot After Show. This is Season 2, Episode 5. We're going to talk about Elliot hacking the FBI. We're going to talk about Elliot finding out about that website. All of that and more next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Are we human?
There we go. I would like to say this is one of the first times we've ever come in on a song that's not in the episode.
Yeah.
It's a nice change, I think.
Sometimes you need that. Thank you guys for joining us so much here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-M, but I am not alone, and we are going to dive into Mr. Robot, starting to my left.
Yes. Hey, guys. Welcome back. Episode 5, Season 2. I'm Ashley. Please join the conversation. I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, Ashley_Chapman.
Hey, guys. My name's Taylor Bolt. You can find me on Instagram at T-Bolt. That's B-O-L-D-T. And also, I am on Twitter at T-Bolt. Also B-O-L-D-T.
Great. And now we wait for them to talk to us, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's how this works.
We just sit in complete dead air. Love this episode.
Yeah.
Wow, a lot happened.
But this is one of those slower episodes.
The last couple weeks have been very moving,
whereas this episode has been a bit plotty, but in the best possible way, in the sense that they're like plotting, but them plotting and dealing with each other and talking with each other is just as much fun to watch.
Yeah.
I was literally in the screen just trying to focus and pay attention to a lot of the scenes because it was slower, but you could tell it was important information that was being given and a very, like, colloquial way.
Maybe I'm just a sucker for information. Like, I thought this episode was action-packed.
Well, it was towards the end, I felt.
Maybe that's what it is. It was just, like, how it left me.
Yeah.
Because when it ended, I was just like, no, that can't be. Mm-hmm. I can't wait a week to figure out what happens.
Oh, man, this episode. We're just going to dive right in.
Let's do it, yeah.
So we end off last week where Elliot is hacking the FBI.
Yes.
I think we all wrongfully thought that he would just hack them right then and there at that terminal, and then next week he'd have all the information and we'd move forward. I think we should have known better.
Sure.
Of course.
To hack the FBI is not something you can do on a, like, bender.
Which makes me feel better, I think, just in general.
I mean, to be fair,
Elliot, the world.
To be fair, Elliot can coordinate a hack on the FBI in one late-night bender while also doing the job for Ray.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
did he get much done on that, do we think? Like, did he actually...
I feel like it was such child's play for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking about it. He's like, I live for this.
I've never migrated a site before, but it seemed like if I was the guy sitting in the room with him, I'd be like, you're taking a lot of time to do this thing that you just said was a simple task.
No, that guy seemed pretty basic.
That's true. Well,
he was the muscle.
But maybe he knew the whole time, though.
Or that. Mm. We'll get into that when we get into that, but I honestly think... So we're going to talk about Darlene and Angela as well, and essentially an F Society plot to hack the FBI. That's what in between this week, in between last week and this week, Elliot coordinated.
Yeah, F Society lives.
F Society lives, and they're going to hack the FBI because they believe the FBI has information on them,
or they want to try and destroy whatever information
either
they
or.
Have. Because, right. you know, now Angela's involved and she realizes, okay, the whole issue with the CD and, you know, her ex-boyfriend, Ollie, like, who else knows? So I thought that was a pretty interesting way to kind of pull her back in. Because I was wondering when they would kind of all reunite.
Yeah, she did seem kind of isolated for a while, right? She's just kind of doing her E-Court thing.
Yeah, I like we finally got a little out of Angela this week of just, like, her true motivations.
Right.
Well, we got that a little last week, too. But, like, this week where she's like, no, I can make a calculated risk.
Yeah.
Right.
And that scene where she comes to Elliot and says, I'm only doing this if I think you can pull it off.
Of course.
Because you wouldn't tell me, you wouldn't get me involved if you couldn't.
Well, she also just shows her trust for him. I mean, it just shows that they still have this intimate connection in a way, you know, like they still very much care for each other, which just because we haven't seen them together, I think this season so far, if I'm not mistaken, like we kind of forgot a little bit about that, you know, so it was really nice to see that again, just be like, oh, right, like you guys, you guys really are friends, at least, you know?
Yeah, very reminiscent of the first season and the first few episodes when we see them pretty much together all the time, you know, her meeting him on the stoop and them just having these really great conversations, sometimes about really nothing, but you could tell that there was a lot of just love there, a lot of friendship there. So it was nice to get a glimpse of that, even if it was just for, you know, a few moments in the scene.
Absolutely.
And I'm watching a lot of shows right now that delve into the idea of, like, someone who kind of feels a hole in their heart or has been through a serious trauma. And, like, they couldn't understand what love is or, like, a long-term relationship it is. Yeah, long-term relationship is. Whereas something that Angela and Elliot have is pretty straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be all love is, kind of a thing. And we get those moments. Yeah, it's very, very pure, where it's just like, we know each other. Mm-hmm. We enjoy each other. We get each other. Yeah.
And she even knows about, I mean, I don't know to what extent, but she knows about Mr. Robot. And he's like, look, my dead dad is standing right behind you. And she's like, so tell me what's been going on here. You know, like it was just, it was not a real beat after that. She was like, so it's, you know, how's QWERTY? It was just like so seamless and it flowed really well, which was great because, you know, he's isolated in and of himself, and there's so many people who are like, okay, you're crazy, let me get away from you. But with her, it just kind of seemed like they didn't really skip a beat.
And it's also something interesting with the Mr. Robot of it all, I just kind of realized, which the mark of a great television show is that the sizzle is like, oh, but there's Mr. Robot, but it's actually, he's made up the whole time.
Yeah.
And a bad television show would have that be the whole show.
Yeah.
That it's my invisible friend and nobody knows and we're going to play that game all. But whereas you look at great shows like The Sopranos, his daughter calls him out on it on like episode 8.
Yeah.
So you're in the mafia. Like same thing with Mad Men. By season like 2, pretty much everyone around Don Draper knows the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
No spoilers on Mad Men. It's still within the parameter. And this show's doing the same thing. Here we are in season 2 and everyone close to Elliot, it's like, so he's here right now.
Yeah.
Mr. Robot's just right behind you? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we're gonna attack the FBI. Exactly. It's gonna be
I know. Just so matter of fact and just kind of not casual, but yeah, I like that. I agree. I think that in this world, like, it's okay for there to be a lot of craziness and for us to acknowledge it, and we can still try and find some sanity within it.
And sanity I think is a relative term when it comes to the show. But, you know, Elliot, especially, I mean, the people that we see him around for the most part are people who feed off of his abilities, like his being the best coder, him, you know, having F Society and being able to orchestrate this master plan. And so we see a level of trust. I don't think that anyone doesn't acknowledge the craziness that's there, because it's very present, you know, and we as the audience are forced to acknowledge it every episode as we watch him talk to his dead father inside of his mind. But he also delivers, and I think that because of that, you know, all the other characters around him feel nothing but sort of admiration for him. And, you know, I feel the same thing as an audience member. It's like, this kid can do anything. Mm-hmm. He's nuts, but he can do anything. I want to see what he does next.
Not to mention, we're a character in this show that just hasn't been defined.
Which is really nice. I really like that.
And we're going to get to the Ray's list later. Or the Craig Robinson's list. That needs work. Craig's list.
Craig's list.
Craig the actor's list. He was even talking to us until Mr. Robot chimes in and it's just like, you're trying to figure it out. Like, I'm surprised he didn't say, don't ask them.
Yeah.
Because that happens, and I like that fourth Wally. Speaking of Wally, Ollie.
Yeah.
We get to see Ollie for the first time in season 2. And he gives Angela his resume.
That's the scene. Like, everyone wants to be Angela in that situation with their ex. You know what I mean? Like, everyone wants to see just the desperate ex.
But also, Angela grew so much from where she was when she was with Ollie.
Yeah.
Like, I talked a lot about that henchman being basic. Like, Ollie is pretty basic.
No, he's very basic.
And Angela was pretty basic. Like half of season 1 until she had this turn that we've all seen.
She's definitely doing better post-relationships than Ollie is.
And I think, too, he she's grown to a point where he can't really manipulate her the way I think he tried. He did before in the past, you know, with all of the, remember that's where we sat and that's where I said, I love you. And here's my resume. Like, just, you could tell it was very forced.
Meanwhile, he's
and
audio recording the whole thing.
Yeah. And it was just tricks that he had probably done in the past that she would have fallen for and been like, okay, fine or whatever. Yeah. But we did get a sense of strength from her. We got a sense that she is way more intelligent and is kind of one-upping him a little
bit. We got motivation. Because now she's going to go to Elliot and get in on this thing.
Yeah.
She's going to do it.
Yeah, and
she's
I think Ollie was part of it.
And she's probably the only person that could have talked him into letting her do that. No one else had that power.
But also I think that's part of the motivation because she knows that Ollie can't be trusted.
Yeah.
So that any information the FBI has on her needs to be destroyed. Also, she's well aware of the law. If she's ever caught, she would just plead down to a misdemeanor.
Right.
Spend maybe a year in jail.
But
prison,
I think also the motivation too behind it was that she still feels like she has a job to do at E-Corp. So if she gets taken down, that would take away from her doing all that she needs to do at E-Corp with her trying to, you know, figure out exactly what Price has going on behind the scenes and getting what she wants ultimately. So I feel like, yeah, she cares about going to prison or jail or whatever, but I think the biggest thing is she can't really be taken down at this point before she has figured out what she wants to do or what her next play is within E-Corp. So I kind of got that sense too. It was just more than, you know, the obvious of I don't want to go to jail, but also she's finding out that she can put herself in a really good position to be in a place of power, and maybe she doesn't want to lose that. Maybe that was the bigger motivation.
Yeah, maybe we don't know. The thing is, we don't really know exactly what her motivation is.
Yeah.
You know, we still. I mean, we can guess at it, but we don't know.
Is she trying to destroy?
She's so complicated.
Yeah,
yeah,
she's
such a complicated character.
I don't think
right
she
now.
Knows. Like, yeah. But I think
maybe
a part of it. But a lot of people, when they find their journey, they realize that it's not about what others are putting on you. It's about what makes sense to you in that moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised, especially with a lot of the self-actualization she's going for, that she's literally just like trying to move forward in her present.
Yeah.
And in every present, try to right wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she wants to get into the room that could kill people and not kill people.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I'll be interested to see if she gets into that room, what decisions she ends up making, you know.
But at the same
because
time,
at that point, like she's got a long way to go until she's there. You know what I'm saying?
And at that
how
point, there's a lot of but there are a lot of things she has to do. There are a lot of lives she has to ruin to get to that room.
Sure, yeah.
Like she was implicated. Like she's partly responsible, as a lot of people are, for 5-9, and they haven't really discussed it wholly. But 5-9 people died in 5-9. People lost everything in 5-9. Gideon died because of 5-9. Also, Ollie mentioned a little exposition. I hope we get a little more that there's 5-9 truthers. And that this guy might have been a murder artist?
Right. No, so he thought Gideon, because he said it right before he shot Gideon, he said that he was a crisis actor, which is like a conspiracy theorist sort of thing where you think that the government is hiring certain people to fake in a crisis. You know, as in like the government was responsible for 5-9 and had planted Gideon as a crisis actor. So he accused him of that.
Oh, he accused Gideon of being a crisis. I thought he accused the murderer, and that made less sense.
No,
okay.
Ollie accused the murderer of being a conspiracy theorist.
Gideon was a crisis actor.
Because he said it right before. He said, like, you're one of the best crisis actors I've ever seen or something like that. Like, before he shot him. So he was maybe he was kind of off his rocker, or maybe there's more there that we don't quite understand. Yet.
This show,
right? I mean, it's never
this
as
show. They
as
can
it
air
seems.
One news package that had probably been show like they've been showing us on the TVs for the whole two seasons that we're like, Elliot's just been lying to us,
the whole time. I've been trying to watch so religiously stuff in the background, like trying to look where they don't want me to look. You know what I mean? Like trying to get inside the head of the thing, and so far, no clues. But
I think part of it, if you're working on this show by now, you're trying to put some stuff in there that has nothing to do with anything. Like I know one of the TVs mentioned the Supreme Court ruled that gay marriage was legal.
Yeah,
that was on the TVs in this episode.
Sure,
maybe that comes back. Likely that's just like a false flag.
Killer, yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, it could place it in time too. It could place
a little bit.
Like where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they're trying to do.
I
don't know.
That.
I think that Gosh, I think that the new stuff, all of the background stuff is boggling my mind. The biggest thing, one of the biggest things for me is, why is it that every time Elliot sees anyone other than like Ray, it's in that one room. It's in that same room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's in that, we're presuming his parents' living room.
I mean,
we're still not positive.
Yeah. That's what it looks like to us. But like, what's going on there? Like, there's some real weirdness surrounding Elliot right now.
Of course, of course.
Elliot and everyone he interacts with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, except for Ray. Everyone else seems to be in that room. He actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Ray will be either in his office or Ray's all over the place. So yeah, he can see Ray freely, but for some reason he's confined to seeing Darlene and Angela.
Well, that's really it.
Yeah, it's really
his interaction, like, everyone from last season, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone he knew.
Talk Darlene, about isolating.
Darlene, Angela, Gideon, he all met in the same exact room.
Yeah.
I think there's something to explore there.
And they all sit kind of in the similar like chairs. Well,
so Angela sat beside him this last one, right? Mm-hmm. But like up until then, they usually sat across from each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on, y'all.
So many possibilities, I tell you.
So let's back off Elliot.
Sure, sure,
we'll,
sure.
We'll end with him. Let's go. Joanna, henchman.
Yes.
Killed that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that was brutal.
Oh, this was... Joanna is a savage, and I love it.
Yeah, we really got to see her inner brutality.
You killed a man with answers. We're not murderers.
You're assuming. And that's her conscience, you know. Like, our conscience is clear because
you
gave him an explanation.
I think that's how she describes it. I don't think it's her conscience at all. I think it's her sadism. I think it's that she just really wanted him to know that she was the one that killed him. You know what I mean? It wasn't the FBI. Mm. It was her. Like, she wants him to know that because he wasn't loyal to her, that's why he died.
But I feel like a person's sadism isn't always on the forefront of their mind. Yeah. I think that's genuinely her conscience and her...
Really?
And her rationale.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see. I mean, it might be her rationale, but I think maybe she lives by it. I mean, we see all the BDSM sort of stuff that mm-hmm. she's into. You know, I feel like she leads with that. She has a definite power struggle. I mean, she really feels the need to assert that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That could be a part of it.
I don't know if she feels bad about stuff, just based on like some of the stuff that she's done, like forcing her own labor and everything. Mm. Like
there's a little more sadism up top.
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay. I don't know how much conscious Joanna has.
I think she's probably conditioned herself not to have certain emotions mm-hmm. or to feel for certain things. I think there are still feelings there, but mm-hmm. I think that like you guys were saying, she's trying to rationalize it. And I think that in her mind, I mean, it was the only option that was available. Like, she is she's a self-preservationist. So she will do whatever she has to with her inducing labor.
Yeah.
That was because, you know, the police were there and were investigating Tyrell killing Scott's wife.
So it's all
about, like, her and how to protect herself. Her wanting to turn in Tyrell to Scott because she wanted to get him to release the hold. So it's a lot about her protecting herself, protecting her baby, and her own self-interest. And she'll pretty much do whatever she needs to do or whatever she feels like she needs to do in order to achieve that. And she does. She rationalizes it all.
So she's definitely self-preservationist. But I actually think, and this can be sort of a prediction maybe, I'll circle back to this. I think that she is in love with Tyrell. I think that they are still a team and that everything she does – because there's so much mystery surrounding his disappearance and everything. I think that – she's in on the whole thing. You know what I mean? I think that they are still working together. And, like, she probably hasn't heard from him since he disappeared.
Yeah.
But I think that they're still a team.
Well, do we
I
know?
Think that everything else she's doing is a show because the public eye is on her. You know what I mean?
That they were a team and she knows more about his disappearance than we do because we follow Elliot.
I think that she knows a lot about his disappearance. Or even if she doesn't know specifically where he is, I think that she still knows that they're in it.
I don't know.
Together.
All the Joanna Tyrell stuff, I watch it and I'm mm-hmm. just so conditioned by this show specifically that I'm like, that's a known unknown.
Yeah.
That's a no- I know that it'll eventually be known. But as of this moment, it's a known unknown. I'm not going to waste time. Like, I'm just like,
Sure, yeah. I understand that.
All will be revealed. Like,
there's not a lot of answers to
be had. I'm just
going to
go on a podcast and say something stupid that people can point to for the rest of time.
Yeah. No, I will make a prediction, though, that they are still, that they...
cahoots with each other.
Like, I don't think they're communicating, but I think that in the end, they're still in it for each other. I still think that they're still going to be a team, and they are going to try to come out of this whole thing
together
on top.
While we're at Joanna and Tyrell, she got to speak with him. We presume she got to speak with him.
She's convinced that it was him, which is enough for me, especially
and
thinking
the perception
that
we were given. The perception we were given is she got to speak with him, and that he was close by when he called.
Right.
Because the same ambulance was heard on the phone that she heard.
Exactly.
And she ran outside to try to find him, and she couldn't piece it all together. Do we think he was in the ambulance?
I don't feel like he was in the ambulance. I think it's just that he's there. He's nearby.
I still think it's Elliot and Mr. Robot, and this is me making a very early prediction.
Wait, the Tyrell is Elliot and Mr. Robot?
No. The whole... Yeah, I know, right? That's jumping way into the deep end. But that this whole mystery and unknown with what happened to him, I think still that they're probably pulling the strings a little bit. I mean, we don't really know what happened to him. I don't know. I just... Tyrell... He's never really struck me, especially when it comes to Joanna, as the person who is the orchestrator of a lot of the stuff that's happened so far. Like, with the cell phone and him just being completely off the radar. Like, we've seen so many scenes where he kind of crumbles and it's like, tell me what to do.
Yeah.
So it kind of seems as though Joanna is kind of in that situation where she's a little frantic, like... what's going on? Where are you? Type of thing. So I feel like they're setting it up to make it seem like it is Tyrell, and then we'll find out later that it was somebody else completely, and that he was never really in the picture at all.
I feel like us seeing her worried about Tyrell, or seemingly worried about Tyrell, is sort of like a red herring. I feel like she's because she. I think she knows where he is, but I mean, she just had the parking attendant killed, SUV where Elliot walked. I mean, she knows that was the last place Tyrell was. It was Tyrell's SUV. She knows why it was there. She knows that this guy knows something. We don't know what he knows, but she had him killed because he knows something. She knows what he knows.
Did we ever figure that out, by the way?
No.
And I think it's, again, like you're saying, it's a known unknown.
But it's something on 5-9 that one day Mr. Robot will reveal it to Elliot, who will reveal it to us.
True, yeah.
And I try my best to not.
I think
Scotch_ in the chat definitely thinks they're working together.
Oh yeah, cool. Thanks, man. You and me both.
Also, Bruce Lee in the chat. The Bruce Lee?
Bruce Lee.
Wellick was credited I thought he was going to show. I think he means the actor who plays Tyrell Wellick was credited in this episode.
Interesting.
Because it was his voice.
Yeah.
Also, I think on shows like this, they tend to give people a series credit. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot on Gotham, another show I cover here on AfterBuzz TV. You just go ahead and search
easy
for
plug.
It.
Shameless promotion.
A lot of people on Gotham get series credits. Partly because you can pay them X amount for the whole season. And not have to pay them per episode, but also so you can put their name on every episode, and people can't tell.
Can't tell when they're there. When
people can't tell. Like, Harvey Dent's going to be in this episode. No, he isn't. He's on the credits every week.
See, that's smart, because in this case, if Tyrell's credited, then we know that was him on the phone.
Where someone like Tyrell, I guarantee you, someone like a character like Tyrell Wellick has a series credit.
So he's just
whether we hear his voice every week or we don't.
I thought you were saying he wasn't.
I think that's what they were saying.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had a series credit, because that would be a huge spoiler on IMDb.
Yeah, it would, right? Okay, interesting. I do think it was him, though, regardless.
We have to move on to White Rose, because we got to learn a lot about White Rose today.
Yeah.
So interesting.
He is the Minister of Technology in China, and he has a name, which Google will tell me.
Google will tell.
I'm on it. All right, good.
Google will tell me.
They
mentioned it briefly because White Rose isn't a big deal to everybody else in that scene, whereas we're like, He, like, makes time.
Yeah.
He's White Rose.
They don't know he's White Rose.
Of course not.
Yeah.
I
love referring to him as White Rose.
I think most people in that room don't know who White Rose is.
Yeah, of course.
They don't know. They're not deep into those trenches with the Dark Army to even understand. Vaguely. I love this scene with Dom.
It was my favorite scene of the whole episode. It was so eerie and...
Minister Zhang. The Chinese Minister of State Security.
State Security. Thank you. So we were talking a lot about, last week about the Mandela effect and alternate realities and Trakians, and we learned more about White Rose, that he literally controls time and talks about how some believe we live in alternate universes. So it's getting beyond just the Mandela effect and into the multiverse theory.
It's literally multiverse theory. I love how we get to see some of his little obsessions. Like, he lets Dom in. Like, he just straight up lets her in. And, like, you know, the whole time I'm thinking, because we talked about it before the episode, we're like, oh, he's going to kill her, something's going on. But no, he just straight up lets her into his world for a minute. And then, as a result, lets us, as the audience, into his world. And we see such a complicated transgender woman who's just got so much going on, feels the pressure of time, just the strong thumb of time.
Especially, he was, his clock, the digital clock we saw was 11:50 or 10 minutes to midnight. Which I believe, if the doomsday clock, which is an actual thing, isn't that even closer than 11:50?
Very interesting. It's
the doomsday clock is
like
11:58 or 57. Like, I think it was at 55 when I was born, and it's at 57 now.
They keep bumping it up.
But it's just like, I think that's what they were saying to a certain extent, that it's, that's how he sees the world.
That's super interesting. I really like this. So you noticed the clock was 11:50 because I like that. Yeah. I'd like to think that that's the showrunners giving us a hint as to what the doomsday clock is at.
And even in that whole situation, he gives a lot, but he also, in a weird way, it was almost like a spell. He just made Dom feel so comfortable to where he's like, no, you're going to tell me what the real deal is. And she just spilt the beans, you know, almost as if she had no real control over what she was saying or why it was coming out. So
it was such an interesting scene because they were both being so vulnerable, and they're both people who
very
are not
vulnerable. Yeah, exactly. Who and like just very, they have their walls, they have their guards. Yeah. You know, Dom is very, you know, quirky and sassy when she needs to be, and we really got more of a glimpse of her past and what she is. You know, her backstory and how she sort of got to working for the FBI and like what her true motivations in this show is. And yeah, it was just very dark and eerie. And I really did think that he was going to kill her, which was even more.
Well, I mean,
surprise.
He may have tried to. So we're not really sure.
Oh, yeah.
If he had more time.
If he had more time, maybe it would have gone down there. But yeah, well, what do you guys think, I guess, the significance was of him sort of showing his sister's clothing and her being so mesmerized and astounded by that?
I think it's made clear that obviously it wasn't White Rose, but he doesn't talk to people privately like that unless he sees something in them and sees them worthy.
Sure. Or if he wants, maybe he wanted something from her. Maybe he wanted to know more about who she was. I feel like, because the whole time he was being so vulnerable and being so open and just letting her see him in – or her, I'm not sure. I think it's her because he's a transgender woman.
It's complicated because it was a he at the time.
Minister Zhang / White Rose opened up for Dom. So I feel like he knew that the hit was going to happen at the end of the episode.
Because
when that scene happened, I was like – I was shocked that he would be so open with like showing clothes and talking about time in that way, unless he knew or thought that she was going to die at the end of the episode. You know,
that he thought, oh, this is someone I can open up to.
Yeah,
because she's going to die tomorrow,
and in the meantime, I can just learn about her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But or just show some part of myself. Why not? But I feel like he only did that knowing that or believing that she was going to be killed.
But it's interesting because of all the people, I mean, there was a bunch of FBI agents who came. We got to sort of see Dom interact with a couple of others, short-lived. But, you know, for the fact that he, because it seems like he made a very instinctual choice. You know, he could have easily shoved her away when she stumbled along the clock, I guess, hallway. But he saw something in her and, you know, he seems like somebody who's very methodical, who, like, plans everything out to the T. So I wonder, you know, was it sort of a plan all along to kind of get them out there? Or if he just sort of picked up on something that he thought was special that he wanted to tap into?
It felt like a reveal, and it felt like he was revealing himself to her. Because he deems her worthy for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Moreover, she mentions it in the next scene, he doesn't have a sister.
Yeah. Mm.
She knows he doesn't have a sister. He must know that she'd know.
Were they just
that
playing each other? Do you think they were just playing each other?
No, I think
scene?
He. I think it was.
I think they had a real moment.
Yeah, I think it was a real moment, and that was his way of being vulnerable and showing that part of his life to her.
Uh huh.
Because he knows she's smart enough to know he doesn't have a sister.
Gotcha.
He dresses up. He dresses up in these dresses. Good for him, I guess.
Or I thought it was just maybe she had researched that afterwards and she seemed intrigued. She could have known prior to.
She strikes me as the kind of person that would have known prior to. You know?
She didn't have a sister.
I wouldn't be surprised now. Like I didn't feel like this at first, but I wouldn't be surprised now looking back at it if they weren't just playing each other.
Either or.
Yeah. I don't know if it really changes the story at all, whether they were playing each other or not.
I could see him playing her. I don't see her knowing much more than we know she knows. Like, I don't think she knows that he runs the Dark Army or is involved in the Dark Army or is White Rose or even who White Rose is.
I don't think she knows that he's White Rose or anything like that. I just think that she's she's real sharp. We see how sharp she is. You know what I mean? And there's some stuff that worries me in the future because, like, little things that I, like, I noticed that she kicked someone that was on the FBI floor off the floor, right?
Yeah. This week.
Yeah, and I was like, uh-oh, because I know Angela's gonna
try to be dropping something off.
I'm like, that's gonna be a thing. You know what I mean? Like, she's a sharp tack. And so every time that, I always want to give her the benefit of the doubt. It's like, oh, she knows more than I think that she does. Mm. Or she'll figure it out. So I don't think she knows that Minister Zhang is a White Rose.
Yeah.
But I do think, and this is just me, but I do think that she was trying to, like, trying to assess. I think
Sandra in the chat's got it. I think he took interest in her because of what she said in the meeting where she abruptly mentioned the Dark Army. That I think it was game respecting game that no one else in that room even knew what that
understood.
Was or had the or had the balls to just mention it brazenly.
She's got moxie.
Speaking of moxie and brazenness, Dom is coming downstairs the next morning. She had a bender we didn't see because she was wearing sunglasses, talking to someone who I think she only spoke to one other time in this whole episode.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that person got shot.
Yeah, it was the FBI agent that she came with.
The fellow FBI agent grabbing coffee gets shot. They storm the whole room with automatic weapons. She gets pinned behind a table, shoots one of them in the leg to disable them, gets pinned behind the table, comes back. He drops his automatic weapon, takes out his sidearm and shoots himself in the head.
Some commitment.
So that she doesn't kill him, because she knows she's got the drop. And that's where we leave her.
Yeah.
Damn you,
and
Joe.
There's at least one more, so it's a big
another,
thing.
Yeah,
she's pinned down.
I'll save it for predictions, but White Rose has got to be in that room. But I will save it for predictions. Do we have anything to say
like
about
White
this scene?
Rose,
I love this sequence. I love this shot. I love everything about this. I love how she's being now thrust into an international incident as a visiting FBI agent. And at some point, she's going to have to come back to New York and presumably find out the FBI has been hacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Dark Army, she could presumably blame the Dark Army because it'll seem coordinated because they took it, like,
who knows? That's
anything like that.
Or it could be even someone who's in the FBI who's a part of Dark Army or somebody who flipped. I mean, there's so many possibilities there. But I think it is more likely that in that conversation, you know, they kind of were suspicious of each other. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, I gotta off you.
Would it help the Dark Army to... Yeah, was it like White Rose thinks that she's now too big of a threat, knows too much, or
was the Dark Army?
I mean, do they want to? I mean, I feel like the goal is not necessarily to kill the FBI agents because they know too much or something. Because let's be honest, they don't really know too much. They don't know anything that the Chinese government does, and we now know that that's almost synonymous with the Dark Army because of White Rose's position in the government, that they don't know anything that they don't want them to. It's just a matter of, like, they want to cause an international incident. Why else would you do that?
But we
so
also
why?
Know there's the project that Romero was researching. What was it? Project or operation?
Operation Bernstein.
Oh, where they
Bernstein
had,
and
they
her
had
name
the list.
And her name was
and
already
the list
on it.
And the name of, so that could also be tied to it as well.
Maybe
because
just
we don't
go
know
down the list.
You know what I mean?
But that's a big brazen way to, like, go down the list. I feel like, I mean, to cause an incident like that, to take out a contingency of FBI agents.
A couple,
there's gonna be some fallout from
a couple of fun things in the chat. Teodros Malchua I feel like I never pronounce your name correctly. What if it was mercenaries sent by Price? Mm. That would be interesting.
Could be. But and now, but now there's some weird correlation between Price and White Rose. Yeah. That, so,
but I feel like well,
they seem to be kind of at odds still.
They,
but,
yeah, they seem at odds. I don't feel like this would have been for Price to handle.
Yeah,
but it would have been great.
Well, it was. I mean, the gunmen were Chinese.
Yes, we're pretty sure the gunmen were Chinese.
I mean, that doesn't mean the Price couldn't have sent them. But
we know that they massacred every other FBI agent in that room. Yeah. We know that it's her. Let's assume it's two gunmen because we only ever saw two gunmen.
Yeah.
We know it's her versus another gunman. That gunman has her outgunned and pinned down.
It could be more though.
I don't think it was a close shot. It was always a close shot. I hope Dom doesn't die.
I would be shocked
if she did. I think that, but she might be captured. You know what I mean?
I think maybe. That seems most likely captured or some type of standoff monologue-y thing.
Yeah.
Next, the way this show goes, we'll probably join her in a Chinese prison 2 weeks after.
Sure. Yeah.
Something like that. Real quick in the chat, people are mentioning Emmy's consideration for this show, and someone brought up, I should quote them accurately, because something is happening this Emmy season that isn't happening in most Emmy season, which is there is no Game of Thrones this summer.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Meaning this show has a shot at really doing like a Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, Sopranos, Mad Men style sweep of the award shows.
Yeah.
And I can feel that because from when I have dealt with the PR people of this show, I can definitely feel that that's the push they're going for.
Yeah.
Which would be great. But they deserve it.
Yeah.
That means we become Emmy winners, right?
We do, of course. So send our Emmys to AfterBuzz TV Network. We appreciate them.
The show is taking all of the Emmys, especially with Game of Thrones not being in the Emmys next year. And then there's talk of Walking Dead.
We can just add it to the Wikipedia. We put our names in there.
Just that we are Emmy Award winning after show hosts.
Exactly. Great. I'll take it. So
let's jump into the deep one.
Yes.
Okay.
Elliot, who was on that terminal initially, to migrate a site for Rey.
Which is not a difficult process, from what I understand.
If you knew what you were doing, like for me,
I'm not gonna do it.
I would
like,
understand.
You can't migrate a site.
I would understand the concept. So he pretty much uses the terminal to do the FBI hack.
Yeah,
but in his spare time, while coordinating an FBI hack, he's like, "Oh, I guess I'll try to migrate this site. Oh, wait, I have to talk to the guy."
Right.
I have to talk to the guy who did it initially and get his key because he encrypted everything.
Right.
They bring that guy in. That guy looks like he's been beat up. We'd seen that guy before. That guy had been beat up.
Before.
Yeah. And I think none of us caught this, but that guy knew what he was doing enough that he could have done this full site migration.
I think he wasn't doing it and because he knew.
Wasn't doing it because A, he knew what the site was, and B, he knew he could play incompetence.
Yeah.
Right.
To the point where Rey would get somebody else.
Yeah.
But they still brought him in.
They still brought him in because Elliot had him bring it because Elliot was a little busy with some other stuff to decrypt. I was about to say de-encrypt. That's not a word. To decrypt what this guy did. This guy was wearing a rat tail, which should have been the dead giveaway of everything. And through him, he gets an actual login to this tour-only site that is invitation only.
It's like this Silk Road, basically, right?
It's literally a Silk Road.
Yeah.
It's worse than I said last week. Because last week I said, I believe my direct quote was, it's going to be really good or really bad. It's going to be saving Nigerian babies or selling Nigerian wives.
I didn't think it was going to be really good. I never thought it was going to be really good.
I had some hope because I think we all really like Craig Robinson. We all really like Rey.
He's still weirdly likable, even though now we know he's...
I love like
detestable
psychopath.
Too.
He reminds me of. Has everyone seen Drive?
Yeah.
The character in Drive, the Albert Brooks character, who's like this mob boss who gets upset when he has to kill people. Like, well, look at what you made me do.
Yeah.
I have to kill you now. Yeah. How dare you? Like, I sense that in Ray, and I really, really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I sense like a businessman, especially knowing what I know about the site now. It's just like. Like, I won't kill if I don't have to kill you. But, like, if I have to kill you,
you can't kill Elliot. I mean, I think we've seen previews with Elliot just had a messed up face. We had seen them for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he killed the last guy, well, presumably. Could have just.
I think everything we're going to talk about with this site and the way they ended this whole episode is a prediction. So let's jump right into it.
Cool.
Right. Cue the light show. We're going to jump straight in.
Now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
All right. Who has anything Rey sight related? Or, well, Rey, Elliot, what happens here?
Oh, Lord.
That one's hard to touch. Hard. Yeah, that one's really hard to touch. I've got my Tyrell prediction with him and Joanna. I don't have a lot of Elliot stuff right now, because I was kind of thrown for a minute when that happened.
I'll jump a little far out. Well, first off, with Elliot and Rey, obviously Elliot's going to survive.
Right.
He's going to wind up. He's going to wind up doing whatever Rey wants, and then ultimately besting him. Like, Rey is like a middling boss.
Mm-hmm.
Rey is a middling boss who got the better of him this one time, but he's ultimately going to overcome him because he's Elliot and he's literally hacking the FBI.
Yeah.
A much broader prediction I have is there's some credence to the multiverse theory and the Mandela effect.
Okay.
They've pointed to it enough in this season that even if it's only a figment of Elliot's imagination,
mm-hmm.
there's something that let me put my tinfoil hat on and say, I think in this universe, through Elliot, the unreliable narrator, telling us this story, he believes and will only show us things that will lead us to believe that there is a secret society ruling class that exists in an alternate universe that has a portal to our universe, and that they secretly control us.
Wow.
Wow, that's yeah.
That's my prediction, guys. You can find me.
We might as well just end the show right there.
Ooh, like, yeah, I don't know if I can follow that
type of prediction.
Like I said, gosh. I don't think that's necessarily the reality of the show.
Sure.
But I do think because Elliot is so in his head and we like literally can't trust anything he says.
Yeah.
At some point, because he's looking inward for all the things that are wrong, at some point, he's going to be so in his head and so inward that he's like, no, the world is literally rigged against everyone.
See, I took the multiverse theory sort of a different way. I took it kind of in a – it was sort of like it's beautiful. And the way that White Rose described it is like the choices that we make affect this reality. Like there was an alternative reality that could have happened if we made a different choice.
Yeah.
But we have – power over choosing our destiny, more or less.
Mm.
That's sort of yeah, what I took it. And especially when it comes to like Elliot's mind, because it's like we see all sorts of things that happen but didn't happen, or happen but were actually just this other thing. It's like his reality is something that his mind forms, and even if it seems a different way, it's still based in reality. You know what I mean? Like when he gets cement poured down his throat and it wasn't like that wasn't really happening, you know? His reality differs from the reality, but it still comes back to that.
And the Mandela effect and like a lot of different things talk about how your eyes aren't just cameras. Your eyes pretty much get filtered through your brain to be what you perceive, and that everyone perceives their own world.
Yeah.
Whereas Elliot's perceiving his own world as the world is completely out to get me, I'm completely paranoid, and there's nothing I can do about it. Whereas someone like Joanna sees it as, no, I'm right all the time. And a sociopath would look at the multiverse theory and think, well, that's great. I live in the multiverse where I'm completely self-actualized, and everyone here bows to my every will. But everyone I meet and treat poorly lives in a set, like, there's a version of themselves in the best possible way where they get to live this life and we all get to live our own bubbled life.
Hmm.
And that's more perception and fun, but like there are people who see that in the multiverse that like your best acts, like your absolute best life exists in the multiverse.
Yeah.
And
no,
that you're trying to do that at all costs.
Yeah. You're trying to make the same choices as that reality.
Well, that makes sense.
Actualize that reality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense because I think the episode before when Elliot, you know, was trying to envision what path he would choose and him seeing a world where all of his friends and people from E-Corp coming together, that could be one reality where the whole 9-5, I guess, hack went down, but it didn't really destroy everything. It brought people together.
That's what
and
Europeans call
unity.
It, 9-5. It's
9-5.
The Europeans call it 9-5. Americans call it 5-9.
5-9. And I'm going to predict that I'll be here next week. And
I'm also going to predict that we'll be here next week. We all live in the...
Hopefully all four of us will be here next week.
Well, there is a universe where all four of us have been to every episode.
We're here tonight.
We're not in that universe. But the universe we do live in, we are all on Twitter.
Yes.
We are. Starting for sure. In this universe.
Where can the people talk to you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Taybolt. That's T-A-Y-B-O-L-D-T. Or on Instagram at Taybolt. Also B-O-L-D-T.
And I'm in this universe slash reality on Twitter and Instagram, Ashley_Chapman.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F. M-A-N-N, I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them regularly. Also, my improv team is playing 12 p.m. Saturday at the Impro Theater. If any of you want to see some live comedy in Los Angeles.
Cool. And that's in every universe.
That's in most of the universes. Okay. I'm on the show that should not be named. Thank you, friend, so much. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.